After a catastrophic history of conflict and sanctimony, we've decided it's time to give something else a try. A new proposal we instate for all priests to be replaced by flamboyant poets and drag queens. Sanctioned Sunday Mass at disco, a DJ at each altar, a monastery of mirror balls, communions of joy and laughter. Fine attire must be donned, get ready to twirl for the gods. All that condemnation to hell got quite exhausting, so we've decided to let that sit for the time being. No, we didn't. We still got quite exhausting, so we're trying a more celebratory approach of love and compassion. That was, of course, our initial aim, but of it we've made a hames. It's high time for a change, to spice up our lives, as those girls would say. We'll keep the wine, encourage to be kind, throw a party in the pulpit, fill the pews with those for who an apology is long overdue for any humiliation we may have caused. We'll keep the rainbow windows, the stations of the cross-dressers, switch Adam and Eve with the snake to Britney at the VMAs, exchange Mary Magdalene for Madonna. Like a slave and I'm a, like a prayer and I'm a slave for you will be sung wildly by the choir. Let's applaud divas, Jezebels, whores, thank those who came before, for no one here will cast stones. We be out here living our best lives. Hashtag mass goals. When the ceremony begins, this performer in heels, taller than Croagh-Patrick, will open her mouth with sassiness and teach kindness on her tongue. We'll pray to patron saints, RuPaul and Panty Bliss, all the Stonewall kids and those who dared to vogue. The world is hard enough without being told you are full of sin. We've come to this realization, so we've decided to let that sit for the time being. The church will now be fun and inclusive of everyone. It's been in the closet for far too long. It needs a revamp, perhaps a false lash, and a sequin gown to stop all the moping around. We hope fringe culture-inspired glamour can save us from our sorrow. We thoroughly regret the shame we endorsed and forced you to internalize. So now go forth and wrap yourself in light, give yourself that ooh ah ah, and let's make the world gay again. Next up is Stanley Nash, please.
I had a feeling when I put myself down at number three on the list, I'd be number one. I don't know how it works here. So I'm going to read a poem in a second, but just, I was sent a cartoon today, and like obviously this is a gay pride night, but for me that always leads me to think about other areas where people have been sidelined. And I got a brilliant cartoon online for today, and it's an image of a priest and a child. The child's about 12, and he's saying to the priest, "So you're telling me that God was unaware of priests sexually abusing children, but he knows when I'm masturbating?" And that sums it up. Now I'm going to read a poem which is about mental health. Those of you who haven't been in that space, count your blessings, I have been. So I read a poem last week written using Eelsong text, which was really light and happy. That's not really my kind of thing, so I went back and wrote another one about mental health using the same band song text.
Eels?
Yeah. This is called "The Medication Is Wearing Off." In my dreams, there's a kind of fuzzy premonition of Elizabeth going fetal on the bathroom floor after the operation in Susan's house, where a souljack, longing to be heard high and lonesome, has a mass of bad news for you and me and some friend taking a bath in rust and fresh blood in the funeral parlour at the dark end of the street, where a sad clown and a losing streak stick together like the sound of fear and the dead of winter, like the hot and cold, unhinged agony of coming back to a jungle telegraph tune that says, "Where I'm at is a world of shit. Where I'm from, it's a motherfucker. Where I'm going is a dog's life, a suicide life that says there's nothing inside your mental, mental, mental."
Hey.
this for tonight. I wrote it today, so hopefully this is... It's for Pat, my friend Pat, in memoriam. History, 1975, the club. I went with Pat to the secret gay disco opposite McCurtain Street Garda Station, of all places. He needed a chaperone for his first night. Up until then, he had found himself walking the streets of Cork, cruising the loos, seeking out gay men, a perilous practice. There was a belief at the time that a kind of queer love was more evil than pure hate. Truth is, nothing would ever undo the hammered-in shame he felt. But that night, Pat made good friends. Anyway, the plan was that I would flake off once he was settled in. But I found myself dancing. Around me were people who had been released, moving with each other, having a laugh, without worrying about being obvious. We went every week after that. How can I see it's burning out? Oh, come. You don't leave me this way. I can't survive. Can't stay alive without your love. Don't leave me this way.
Thank you very much, Shek. Next up is Jamie, please. Jamie Martin.
Wrote this year or two ago, whenever Despacito came up. I tried to write a summer song, the kind you'd like to hum along to, thumping drum and all, just think the Jungle Book is where I want you. Catchy hook to grab right onto, till it's stuck inside your mind to haunt you.
Come back.
I tried to write a summer song, the kind you'd like to hum along to, the thumping drum and all, just think the Jungle Book is where I want you, catchy hook to grab right onto, till it's stuck inside your mind to haunt your mind to. It comes time to end the night of break of dawn tunes, lying in your bed, it plays on dying in your head, and I'd be lying if I said you wouldn't wind up getting fed up of it. Kind of song that turns a profit. Artistry's not what you'd call it. It's just simple business. Write a summer song and fill your wallet. That's not what I wanted. What I wanted was a song where when you heard it later on, it remind you where the song was from, and then somehow you'd be back to the summer where you heard it last. I want to write a song that can take you to the past, and the magic is it only works if that is where you want to be, if that's when you were happy and if that's when you were free. But somehow when I wrote the song, it turned into an emo poem slowly.
And just to let everybody else know on the mic, we are kind of running out of time a little bit, so if we can keep the intros to a minimum, and all poems under around 3 minutes, that'd be super. Okay, thank you.
Alright, so very, very quick introduction.
Trying to put it on the ground.
Yeah. So I had a son 6 months ago, but he was born with a heart defect, and which is hard in any way you look at it. What he had was an aortic coarctation, which means that his aorta was narrow at one end, so they had to go in and cut the narrow end out and suture the two ends together, and he's fine. He's actually doing really well. But this is a poem that I wrote shortly after we found out what the problem was. So this is called Red Meander, a song for my son after weaving by Annie Albers. The network of its terrible machinery, like clockwork of quanta, branching moments toward the delta of our second, toward. In the knot, we find shape and line, in labyrinth, design. At the interface, encounter hidden caves at shoreline, changeling in its sealskin, changing into a beautiful little boy. A narrow passage. I try to speak. Breaking on the shoreline of aphasia, I try to speak. Fragments, repetitions. A heart in its anatomy, in echo, rendered in a rhythm so quickened we cannot recognize its period, encountering the repetition of another, entranced and breathless, waiting, watching, for nothing to be there. The narrow passage of your heart, your faulty heart, your fucked up heart. The wonky shadow of aorta, circumflex in echo, in the palpitation of its shifted light, traveling the distance of a lightning strike, and 1, 2, 3, 4, a thunderclap, the heartbeat of a storm. Where is love in this singularity of flesh and blood, a small distorted beating on a monitor, a human heart? It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Coarctation, a word with an R where you least expect it. This is what I tell family members who should be told. This is what. And what if love has nothing to do with the heart? The narrow passage of an Aldous leaf etched its slender instrument toward. In the knot, we find shape and line, in the labyrinth, design. Keep your heart, the call note. Keep your heart caught in a deeper dark. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. That love is in the heart is a fucking literary convention. And what if love has nothing to do with the heart? Toward. In the knot, we find shape and line. In labyrinth, design. I love you, beautiful little boy. And it has nothing to do with the heart. Thank you.
Please. This is about growing up in North Cork and feeling like a freak as a result. It's called Village Savant. Picking on Mars bars outside the pub. Feebly participation in a local match. Growing up crooked in another's estimation. Skittish return of mouth not given lightly. Local jokes talking corners to send on this. Squandering money for sweets, high-weighing means. Cottage being a source of saccharine delight. New turn of the phrase, lost and indigent. Fushy associated with wrong type. Sitting beside a dud, triggering a warning. Asking for advertisement to save the day. Slinking in the pub afterwards, a silent act. Over gossiping the parish there on in. In spite of earshot, dubbed for destruction. Gulping drinks like goldfish, like so. Never achieving the price association. Well-developed hips as sources of hair. Menstruation taking its time, diligently dithering. Infinite speech after mastering is true. Waiting for the morning to burst its load. Married, resting, fed. Sweet revenge under straightforward. Always different to the whole town. Football ascending to a higher ground. Killing beloveds for the sake of camaraderie. Raising darlings now, a sense of revenge. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patricia. Next up is Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Sean. The underlying theme of this, it's quite short, is a call from a passive aggressive guy who you have to walk on eggshells to communicate with. So it's called phone call. Cable and cord carry his voice, twisting its way to her ear. A welter of words gathers and grows, entangles the mind, troubles the heart. Familiar game of hide and seek. She holds on to fragments, pieces together, misses and hints, as he grapples with memory's goad that repeats the blows from the past. Her voice drops a register lower. She sifts and weighs what she might reply, tiptoes through minefields she knows from of old, aware she could snarl on a word, allow the lines to get crossed, break the connection, bring everything down.
Thank you. this afternoon. It used to be a big affair a long time to say that. And it's a piece of prose. And I'm quite proud of it. Cousin Sylvester. I did not know my mother's cousin, but I attended his funeral. More exactly, I put in an appearance. The son of a friend had committed suicide in Germany, and his remains had been brought home. This occasion was a priority, but the arrangements allowed for a brief stop in the chapel to pay my respects to our relation. Sylvester O'Leary, in his earlier days, was seen as a success. He attended a better school than his younger brother, Black Rock, as opposed to Rockwell. And he set out to join his father's profession as a solicitor. Then events took a different turn. He met a beauty queen, the first of the beauty queens, as my uncle put it. They married and set up a business together. They sold perfumes. Sylvester Gary gathered up every penny he could lay his hands on. Of course, as my uncle put it, it was not a success. Sylvester resumed his studies and qualified. Then the war came and he joined his father's firm in Bantry. His arrival caused a stir. In a posh motor car, he and his glamorous wife got to town just when the congregation was emerging from last mass. This was too conspicuous for some of his well-wishers. By all accounts, he was a success as a solicitor, but his wife refused to live in Bantry, so the long, mostly dreary years of the war were unhappy. At the war's end, he had had enough. He shook the dust from his feet and announced that he would never set foot again in the town. He kept his word. His brother paid his father's grief bill. Sylvester went to Dublin to manage a shop, abandoning his profession. His wife joined him from Scotland, and then no more was heard. He did not stay in touch with his relations. Many years later, it became known that he was living in a corporation flat when he died. His wife had predeceased him. There were no children of the marriage. Originally from a farm outside the town, this family had produced many solicitors, one of them a member of Parliament, one a judge. Sylvester had chosen another route.
Thank you, Cheryl. Next up is Philip Spillane.
Thank you. So, I met up with loads of beautiful people this year. And I had to do a love poem tonight, of course. And this one's to a Shanna Bell, because I met up with loads of Shanna Bells, and I'm not allowed to tell you what that means, because it's a secret. I might tell you at the end of the poem, if you're good. And the poem is also called Secret. Secret. As fragile as a helicopter seed, a soft white albino moth dances its own silent motor and can't decide to land on the ear's helix or the skin behind or fly into the drum and kiss a whisper of.
Tonight and I wrote a poem literally over dinner, but basically I went to school basically in the 90s, and like there was kind of people were just kind of becoming more progressive, like people are kind of becoming more kind of moving on in terms of like how you treat people in terms of disabilities and stuff like that. And then I was reading an article today, and basically it was basically about this family that can't find any school for their kid because they were on the autistic spectrum, and it just rang true to me because I pretty much tried to get kicked out of every school I was in because of that, because I was different. So I basically came up with this, which probably is a bit visceral and undistilled, but yeah. They can't understand you, and so they contain you in a corner. They can't restrain your creativity and underestimate unconventional intellect and redirect the blame on you, label troublesome, idiotic, and irrelevant, irreverent. Teachers taking no time to try, ideologically following the formula intended for the ideal students, an imaginary concept in itself, callous contempt for the inevitable deviance, inflexible to divergent ideas, drugging children with Concerta and Adderall to suit adults without the wherewithal to consider any difference. Conservatives defending a defunct system that discriminates against disability by design, demoting those that don't fit before they step into the adult world.
Right, this is about a very special moment in my life. I don't think I've ever done this poem in public before. So here we go. Lotus night. This night was like a lotus flower, a tender moment glistening with such bliss, like touching the flow of the universe, a slice of euphoric enlightenment shared among our circle of three. A sacred present of light from the heavens, created with and unleashed for you. Our egos banished, our souls in unity, in a river of love and sanctity, with a pulse of Eros quivering through. This point in time I will forever cherish, merged together thanks to every one of us. One stream of energy joined within us three, soaring in blissful joy of universal love. A ring of completeness in ecstasy. No shade of lonely sadness we shall cast over this eternal moment of one love. The bliss of touching enlightenment and divine devotion released in sacred trinity. This sacred night has set us free.
And lastly, can we please have Ray Hennerin? No! Okay. Right, yeah. This one's from a while back. It's called The Empty Bistro. It looked perfect in its forlornness. No busy staff scuttling about, trying in vain to look busy so as to justify their hourly wage. All the tables neatly set, but in a vacant, fearful symmetry. No money changing hands, no ostentatious laughter from the unaccountably absent maitre d'. It looked like the death of consumerism,
And who knows, maybe it actually was.
thanks a million, Ray. So that's it. I hope you all had a very lovely night. If we could give up for our 5-word challenge winner, Mary Cricker.